Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in angels? I think there's maybe a song along those lines. I believe in angels. Do you believe in angels? The title is Angels, Myth or Messenger? Messengers. A myth is something that is very popularly believed, or it's believed by many people, but it doesn't have a real existence. For example, you may have heard of the unicorn. The unicorn was supposed to be a horse with one horn, if you follow me. But there's no proof that it ever existed, even though many people might believe that it existed. It was just a myth. Possibly another myth is the Loch Ness Monster. If you've ever been to Scotland, you'll know there are people who believe that there's a monster lurking in Loch Ness. But its existence has never been proven, and there's great, great doubt about it. One suspects it's a myth and that it helps promote the Scottish tourist industry. If you're Scottish, I hope that hasn't offended you. So a myth is something that's widely believed, but it has no basis in fact or in reality. But I don't think that angels are mythological. I don't think they're myths. The second term, messenger, sums them up well, because the essential meaning of the word angel is messenger. And we'll hear more about that in a little while. Perhaps there's some people here tonight and you're not really that aware of angels. Not something you've thought much about. You're not really aware of the important role that they play. Have you noticed enough how they are mentioned in so many well-known Bible stories? I'll be reading one of them later on, but there are quite a number of stories and chapters in the Bible where you'll find angels mentioned from the very beginning of the Bible right to the very end in the book of Revelation. Do you know how many times angels are actually mentioned in the Bible? Any idea, I wonder? Well, there's some debate about it, because there are one or two terms that are not so certain, but the usual figure given is that they're mentioned 273 times. 273 times angels are mentioned in the Bible. That's quite a lot, isn't it? Quite a lot of times. Perhaps there's some here tonight and you know a lot about angels. Maybe you're even very preoccupied with them. You think a lot about them. Maybe you need to be more discerning and more careful in what you believe about them. Now, talking about angels, of course, I am not claiming to have all the answers, by no means. We are dealing here with the realm of the supernatural. The realm of supernatural. The angels are supernatural beings. And we can only know about them that which has been revealed to us. We shouldn't be speculating or guessing. At the same time, as we'll see, there are many things that we can say that are definitely true about the angels. I'll be coming to those in due course. Four headings I have tonight in this talk about angels. First of all, I want to look for a little while at the popularity of angels. The popularity of angels nowadays. And they're very popular indeed. There was a survey carried out by, you may have heard of this magazine in America, Time magazine, very influential current affairs magazine, political magazine, carried out a survey of the American public a number of years ago and asked them about angels. And here were three of the findings of this survey. Of those interviewed, 69% of people said they believed in angels. So over two-thirds of people said they believed in angels. 56% of people, over half of them, said that they believed they had their own personal guardian angel who watched over them personally. And 32%, or almost a third of them, said that they had experienced some kind of angelic presence. They had some kind of encounter with an angel. Nearly a third of people said that. It's quite striking, isn't it? There's also a very well-known writer, popular writer on the angels in America, but her books are found all over the world. Her name is Doreen Virtue. She has written at least 20 books on the subject of angels, and some of them have been bestsellers. They have titles such as the following: Miracles of the Archangel Michael, Angel Therapy, and Solomon's Angels. Interesting titles. One day, as an experiment, I decided I'd stop in a local library over in my part of the world. And some of you might know where this is, so I better explain. The town of Strabane. There are a few people here who know where I mean. It's right on the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in County Tyrone. It's a little small town, but it has quite a nice library. Not a huge library, wouldn't be as big as the libraries in Belfast. No. It's just a small town library. And I looked there and I wondered, how many books would there be here about angels? I was amazed. They had lots of books. They had 5 or 6 books about angels, including some of the books by this lady, Doreen Virtue. And actually, when I went to the librarian and said, are these all the books you have about angels? They said, oh, well, there should be a few more, but some of them gone missing. So perhaps people had pilfered them or not returned them. So they were popular in the Strabane Library. And when I lived in Galway some years ago, on one occasion there was a huge display in a local bookshop. It had all kinds of books filling the window, and videos and DVDs on the subject of angels. The shop thought it worth their while to fill their window for a week or two with DVDs and books about angels. They believed there was a good market for them, that a lot of people would be buying them. Another indication of the popularity of angels, I suppose, is the popularity of television series about angels. There's an old one, I think, that's now been rebroadcast. You may come across it. Highway to Heaven, starring the famous actor Michael Landon, famous for Little House on the Prairie. Well, he also starred as an angel in Highway to Heaven. And there are many other television programs about angels, too. More locally here in Belfast, a few years back, there was a lady called Francesca Brown who had her book reviewed in the Belfast Telegraph. I'm sure that's a newspaper, even if you're not local here, you'll have noticed it. It's the best-selling newspaper, I think, in Northern Ireland, local newspaper. Well, the Belfast Telegraph reviewed this book by Francesca Brown. Its title was My Whispering Angels. She was claiming that angels would whisper to her. And here's part of it, of the review. The inspiring story of an Irish woman touched by angels. And in the book, she claims that angels help her to contact the dead, and that they help her to write heavenly poetry. Whatever that is, not sure, but that's what she claims, that the poetry comes down from heaven via the angels to her. However, by far the most popular book about angels in the marketplace is this one, written by a Dublin woman, called Angels in My Hair by Lorna Byrne. This has been a bestseller, not just in Ireland. It has been translated into at least 30 languages, 30 different languages, maybe one which you speak here tonight as your native language. 30 different languages. It's an international bestseller, this book. And she tells the stories of many encounters with angels. I want to read you just 2 small sections from it to give you an idea of the way in which she writes. Pages 8 and 9. She claims to have encountered an angel even while she was a schoolgirl way back in Dublin many years ago. However, my life at school was made much more bearable by one particular angel called Hussus. So she knows his name. One morning I was running to school, trying to keep up with the older girl who was with me, when suddenly I saw a beautiful angel hiding behind a lamppost. He made a face at me, and from that day on, Hussus used to appear most mornings on my way to school. I still see him regularly today. Imagine that. She claims that this angel was hiding behind a lamppost and made a funny face at her. Is that really what angels would be doing? Well, that's what she claims. But more than that, the title of the book is Angels in My Hair. And here's where the title comes from. Pages 51 and 52 of the book. Here's why she calls the book Angels in My Hair. One sunny day, I was walking up the lane to Granny's from the empty house and smiling to myself. I felt enormous strength and confidence because I knew that someone very special was close by. My angels told me to continue up the lane, not to continue up the lane, but to go through the fields instead. I climbed a gate, and as I was walking through the long grass toward the woods, he ruffled my hair. He has an extraordinary presence, too powerful to manifest in physical form. Instead, when he's present, it feels like a powerful force swirling around me. He has a habit of ruffling my hair, which makes it feel all tingly. I feel so special and so good when he is near me. So, hence she calls the book Angels in My Hair. She claims that she experiences the presence of this angel by having him ruffle her hair. But I say, a bestseller. Many people have read this book. Many people believe it. There's no doubt that Lorna Byrne is a very good storyteller. I think that's one of the reasons why the book has had such appeal. She is great. She follows the old Irish tradition of being good at telling stories, or as we say in this part of the world, yarns. That mightn't mean a lot to an international audience, but she's good at telling stories, and that makes the book very popular. Are the stories true? That's another matter. More recently, she's had a book published, A Message of Hope from the Angels. Very popular. So, many books about angels, especially by this lady, Lorna Byrne. And then, the popularity of angels is also seen in their being promoted at holistic fairs. Holistic fairs, or New Age type events, as Philip was mentioning, I think, in his introduction. I have here a poster from some years ago. It was up on a wall, and the date was passed, so I took it down, took it with me. I didn't think anybody wanted it. The date was over. It was advertising a holistic fair in the town of Letterkenny in County Donegal. All kinds of things were being promoted at this fair, but the angels played a prominent role. There was here IET, or angel healing, that you get healing through the angels. There was to be an angel store as well, and there were to be angel card readings. So at these holistic New Age type events, angels feature strongly, another sign of their popularity. There are such things as supposedly as angel charms that you can wear, and the angels supposedly show favour to you. I had occasion to go in even to a flower shop in Limavady recently to buy some flowers for somebody who wasn't well. And as part of the shop, there were all these kinds of angel charms as a sideline that they were going to be selling to people who came in buying flowers. So even in the small town of Limavady, angel charms can be found to purchase. And you can even follow up, supposedly, the angels online. We do everything online nowadays, so the promoters of angels encourage you to do this as well. Doreen Virtue, for example, you can go into her website and you can use angel cards to guide you. She'll say to you, write down your question. And then there'll be these cards, and you're supposed to pick three of them. They've got their back, but you're meant to turn over three out of them. And they supposedly contain a message from the angels to guide you and help you with your question. And these things are free, actually, though I suspect later on you get charged. I wouldn't recommend them, by the way. But they're available online like many another thing. Also making angels popular. There's one other kind of angel that's getting very popular. I think this will appeal to Belfast folk, because I know the difficulty you have in parking around this busy city. Well, nowadays, there are people who are called parking angels. There are people who are employed by large supermarkets at Christmas time and these are actually human beings, men and women, who direct you to a car parking space, and you're meant to tip them as a result. But then there are people who actually believe you can contact an angel when you're setting out on your journey and ask the angel to direct you and guide you to the perfect parking space. That might be quite popular, quite tempting to people in a city like this. Would never think of being tempted by it in Limavady. We can park almost anywhere. But in Belfast, you could see it might prove popular. So this is just some examples. Angels are really, really popular nowadays. Secondly, I want then to ask the question, why are they so popular? What are the reasons for the popularity of angels in our culture? Why so many books? Well, I want to give three reasons. There may be more, but these are three. I think these are three reasons why angels are so popular in our world today. First of all, they are offered as a source of comfort, a source of hope, a source of guidance to lonely, vulnerable, and hurting people. They're offered as a source of comfort, guidance, and hope to lonely, vulnerable, sorrowful, hurting people. People who are desperately thinking to themselves, where can I find help? Where can I find guidance? Where can I find direction in my life? Somebody has summed up the reason for the popularity of angels in our modern world in this way. People seek comfort from these heavenly helpers in a troubled and often chaotic world. In a troubled and often chaotic world, people turn to angels for help. I want to illustrate this in one particular way. Thinking about people who turn to angels for help and comfort, there's a well-known, I'm not sure she's a broadcaster nowadays, maybe she is, but she used to be here in Northern Ireland, Gloria Hunniford. And Gloria Hunniford had a terrible tragedy happen in her family circle. Her daughter Karen died tragically of cancer at a very early age. And she's amongst those who believe that her dead daughter can communicate to her via messages from the angels. She has written of this. And one of the ways in which she believes, and others believe this, that angels send you messages is via this. Didn't fall to the ground, there you go. White feathers falling to the ground. White feathers falling to the ground. If these fall at your doorstep in front of you, or maybe onto your car, there are people who believe this is an angel sending me a signal, sending me a message to guide me. I should try and tune in to this angel. We can understand people who have been bereaved looking for comfort. We do understand that. But we have to ask a few questions about these white feathers. Why should a white feather be a sign of an angel or a message from an angel? Why should? Well, I know in the Bible angels are portrayed as having wings, but that doesn't mean that angels actually have wings. They're portrayed in that way. And also, think about this, and I don't mean to be cruel, but are there not many birds with white feathers out there flying around and perching on trees, and they do lose their feathers? And is it really surprising that sometimes some feathers should fall across our pathway or onto our cars or onto our doorsteps? Is it anything more than that? Is a falling feather really a sign or a message from an angel that they're trying to communicate with you? I think there are other explanations that are more believable than it being like that. We do need a lot of comfort and hope and guidance in this confusing world. But does it really come via white feathers? Well, one reason for the popularity of angels is that people are looking to them to give them comfort and guidance. Secondly, I think angels are also popular today because many people are seeking spiritual meaning and fulfillment. I know we live in a very materialistic society, where many people are only interested in money and houses and possessions and the things of this life. But there are still a lot of people deep down within us. There's within every person a desire for something more than that. What's called a, a sense of transcendence, a deeper meaning. There must be more. There surely must be more to life than just food and property and money. Must be something more meaningful. There must be some deeper purpose. This is very evident in Burns' book, that she's trying to create this sense of there being a deeper spiritual reality. It's very much in the book. It's tied in with the upsurge in the New Age movement, where people are looking for some kind of vague spiritual experience. And it is good to believe in an unseen world. It is. There are many things that are real that we can't see with our eyes. But there's also a need for discernment. Should you automatically believe everything you read and everything you hear about angels, even though many people are promoting it? We have to be careful where we seek spiritual meaning and fulfillment. But that's another reason why it's popular. Here's a third one, I think. It is a money-making industry, for some people anyway. I'm not saying everyone who writes or speaks about angels is motivated by money, but some undoubtedly are, because there's money to be made. Fees, money is charged for methods to supposedly contact your angels. Channeling techniques, for example. Forms of meditation. The use of crystals. Even advising you on what kind of color of clothing you should wear, so as to attract the right kind of angel toward you. Supposedly, according to this view, certain angels are attracted to certain colours. So wear the right colour of clothing and you're more likely to encounter them. But you have to pay for such advice. I have an advert here. Again, it's from my former home in Galway, a local newspaper. Here's a bit of money being made. They're selling many things, but then they come to angel cards. 10% discount available for weddings, for groups, and for hen parties. Book early. Get your angel cards early for your weddings, for your groups, for your hen parties. 10% discount on the angel cards. Business, money to be made, and it's been promoted for that reason as well. So those are some of the reasons for the popularity of angels. So they're popular. Try to explain why they are popular. Thirdly then, what does the Bible say about angels? Well, as I've said already, there are a lot of references to angels in the Bible, and I couldn't go through them all. We'd be here to, maybe the end of the week. We'd be here to next week. There are nearly 300 references to angels in the Bible. So there's no doubt about it. It's right for Christians to believe in and want to understand more about the angels. I want to sum up the Bible's message about angels. Five headings. Five important truths that the Bible teaches about angels. First of all, they are created beings. They are created. They have been created. Listen to a verse from the Bible, from the book of Colossians in the New Testament, the first chapter, verse 16. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus as the creator of all things, including the angels. For by him were all things created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. It's a reference there to things invisible, to thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. Reference to the angels. Why is this important? Why is it important to realize that angels have been created? Well, it just reminds us this evening that though angels are very powerful, they are supernatural beings, yet still they are far, far inferior. And indeed they are subject to the eternal God who has created them. God is far above all of the angels. We must remember that. They are created beings. Secondly, another thing that the Bible teaches of the angels is this. Angels do help to carry out many of God's plans. They do help to carry out many of God's plans. At special times of blessing or of judgment, the angels have been used as messengers and agents from God. Two things here. They bring important messages from God at special times. Not everyday events, but at special occasions in the working out of God's plans. Angels have been used as messengers. That's the very meaning of the word. I want to read you one passage now from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verses 8 to 14, where the most important message ever brought by angels, you can read about it here. I think this is the most important message that the angels ever brought into this world. God sent them to send this message. It's a very important message. Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. That's other angels. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Great message. The Savior was born, Jesus Christ. And this message is brought here to the shepherds by the angel and confirmed by a whole host of angels. But the angels are also sent to carry out judgments from God. This is not mentioned in the popular books. It's not a very popular idea that God would bring judgment. But angels have been used for this purpose. Let me give you one startling example from the book of Acts, the fifth book in the New Testament, chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. Herod was a wicked ruler. Here we read, "Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died." He was an angel used to bring a judgment from God upon a very wicked ruler. So angels are created beings. Angels help to carry out many of God's plans. Thirdly, angels have been sent both to protect and to deliver God's people when they were in particular danger. Psalm 91, book of Psalms, right in the middle of the Bible, verses 11 and 12 says this, speaking of the Lord God, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Protective role. And you see, angels are largely unseen, but they're there at times protecting the people of God. There's an interesting story in the book of 2 Kings, way back in the early part of the Bible, in the historical books of the Bible, chapter 6, in 2 Kings, chapter 6, where Elisha, who was a prophet of God and a servant, was surrounded by enemies, and they're in real danger, and the servants get really afraid. But Elisha says, Do you not see there are some around us who are far, far more powerful than our enemies?" And indeed, the servant was able to see horses and flaming chariots, angels surrounding Elisha and his servant, protect them from the enemies. While Jesus does not teach about having a single guardian angel, as some claim, he does speak about angels watching over his people. Matthew 18, verse 10. "See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Fourthly, and this is, I think, not mentioned at all in books like this about the angels. This is not mentioned at all. Angels are active in worshipping God. Angels are worshippers of Almighty God. Just read you two short passages from the Bible. In the Old Testament here, the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord high and seated in his temple. And it says this: above him there were seraphs, and seraph is the name of a group of angels. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." What are these angels doing, the seraphim? They are worshipping God. They are worshipping God. Here's another example in the very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, 11 and 12. John has a vision, and here's what John sees. "Then I looked up and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's a lot of angels. What were they doing? "They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang." What did they sing? "Worthy is the Lamb." The Lamb is Jesus. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." They're worshiping Jesus, the Lamb of God. Angels, it has been rightly said, find their greatest and highest joy in praising God continually. And that's not mentioned at all in many of these books. Fifthly and finally, angels, many angels, will accompany Jesus when he returns in glory, when he comes to judge this world, to provide the final answer to all the evil and hurt in this world. Just give you one reference from the Bible. I could give you many, but here's one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in the New Testament, verses 6 and 7. "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels." Jesus returns in glory. He's going to be accompanied by his powerful angels. So these are some of the important things that the Bible teaches about angels. So in conclusion, I want to ask fourthly the question, how should one respond then to the current interest in angels and to books such as these, Angels in My Hair, and many things that you will read about the angels nowadays? I want to say three ways at least you should respond. If you're going to act in line with what the Bible teaches and believe what the Bible teaches, here are three ways you should respond. First of all, in relation to this great interest in angels, beware of a great distraction. Beware of a great distraction. Certainly we should be aware of the important role of the angels. We should not ignore them, and we should be thankful to God for them. But you see, there can be an unhealthy, imbalanced fascination with angels. And some people can be so caught up with trying to get in touch with angels or encounter angels or think about angels that they're not committed to God. They're not looking for a relationship with God. He gets pushed into the background. I think that's what happens in this popular book. God is pushed into the background. He is mentioned, but he's pushed into the background. The angels seem to be to this lady all that really matters. Somebody said that angels are so popular there because they're presented as all fluff and meringue, kind, non-judgmental, and they're available to everyone like aspirin. Therefore, they're made very appealing. But the Bible never ever, this is important, the Bible never ever encourages us to pray to angels. Never. Never in the Bible is anyone encouraged to pray to angels. More than that, the Bible never even encourages us to seek contact with them. Angels appear at the bidding of God. It's not because somebody's been desperately trying to contact them by channeling or something like that or using crystals. They just appear at the command of God, at God's timing. And it's a wrong thing to try and use some kind of mystical techniques to try and contact them or encounter them. Most of all, the Bible forbids us to worship angels. Only God is to be worshipped. Listen to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. John had an encounter with the angel, and he was overpowered by it, and he was sort of disorientated by it, and he was going to worship the angel. And here's what the angel said to him. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." See, the angel himself here says, don't be worshiping me. Your attention, your love, your devotion, your worship should be directed to Almighty God. See, God is far, far greater than any angel. He is eternal. They are created. He is almighty. They are not almighty. They are powerful, but they are not almighty. He is all-knowing, and they are not all-knowing. So don't be distracted from God by an unhealthy fascination with the angels. Beware of a great distraction. Secondly, and this is more serious, beware of a great danger. Beware of a great danger. Now, there is a brief reference in Lorna Byrne's book to Satan. But she doesn't really take seriously the thought that there could be deceiving demons or fallen angels around. She imagines that any angel must be a good angel. But the Bible tells us, of course, that there are deceiving demons in our world. And that they can even disguise themselves. Even Satan can do this. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 says, Satan himself masquerades, or he puts on the disguise, as what? As an angel of light. So Satan will pretend to be an angel of light in order to lead people astray. And I do fear a lot of books like these are deceiving people. People can even get led into trying to contact the spirits of the dead through an interest in angels. And that's a very, very wrong and dangerous thing to be doing. People can get entangled with the occult and the powers of darkness through an undue fascination with angels. So beware of this great danger. Be discerning in what you read. So beware of a great distraction. Beware of a great danger. But finally, and most seriously of all, beware of ultimate disaster. Beware of ultimate disaster. What is our greatest need? What is your greatest need? What is the greatest need of any human being? Yes, of course, all of us here, we do need comfort in a world full of sorrow. Yes, we do need guidance in a world so full of confusion. Yes, we do need help because we're weak and by ourselves. Yes, we do need hope when there's so much despair. But none of those really are our greatest needs. They're very important, but they're not our greatest need. Christianity and the Bible tells us that my greatest need and your greatest need is this. It is a need for forgiveness. The need for forgiveness is our greatest need. Lorna Byrne ends her book with a very striking sentence, which I want to read to you. This is what she says. This is the last sentence in the book. You know when you're writing a book, I've written one book, hasn't been a bestseller by any means, but when you're writing a book, you want to try certainly have a striking sentence at the beginning and a striking sentence, if you can, at the end. Well, Lorna Byrne certainly has a striking sentence at the end. This is how her book ends on page 325. Here's what she says to you. We are all, in fact, angels. That's a cheery story, isn't it? We are all, in fact, that's a nice way for a book to end, isn't it? We are all, in fact, angels. That would lift your spirits if you believed that. But is it true? Is it true? It sounds lovely. It's very appealing to think yourself an angel. I'm an angel, wow. But is it true? The Bible tells us we're not angels. The Bible tells us the truth about ourselves that you and I need to admit. We are actually sinners. And by that, it's meant we break the law of God. There are many ugly, nasty things in our lives that displease God. Here's just one. Anyone here who has never lied? Never told an untruth? Anyone dare put your hand up? I have never ever lied. I have never ever told an untruth. I've never ever misled anyone. Lies and untruth, they're sins. God is a God of truth. Breaks his law any time we lie. And how often, in fact, if we're honest, we have lied in one way or another. We might only call them white lies, but they're still lies. So you see, we're not angels. We're not holy angels. We are sinners in need of forgiveness from God. And here is the important thing. If we don't find this forgiveness, if we don't receive forgiveness from God, then God will not let us into his heaven. He can't allow anything that is unclean and sinful into his heaven. In fact, those who have not found forgiveness, who are still guilty in God's sight, will be sent away from him forever and ever into the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ultimate disaster, total ruin, total loss. That's why it's so important to know that you're forgiven. And this, you see this, no angel can do that for you. No angel can do that for you. No angel can meet your greatest need of forgiveness. No angel can take away your sin. No angel can stand in your place on the day of judgment. But you see, the good news of Christianity, the good news of the Bible, the good news that was proclaimed there in the Gospel of Luke is this. In Jesus Christ, God came down to earth as a human being, and he died on a cruel cross to take the punishment for any man or woman of whatever background, of whatever age, of whatever nation, of any man or woman who will put their trust in him, who will admit, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness. And he will say, I see in Jesus the one who has died for my sin. So by all means, do learn about angels. But be discerning, be careful. And be sure that you know that you have trusted in the greatest helper who can help you with your greatest need, the need for forgiveness. And who also, of course, can provide to all who rely upon him true comfort, true guidance, and true hope in this broken world. Jesus is far, far greater than any angel. And he's the one we should be talking more and more about, and writing more and more about.